Three, two, one.
Okay, we are clear. Ready to go live in 5, 4. Cue the talent. 3. Hey, I said cue the talent. 2, and 1.
Attention hobbyists, sports fans, and collectors nationwide and abroad. It's time to get hype. All a part of. Live from the Mojo Break Studios, it's Dan and Doug.
Come on!
So, get hyped. Be hyped. This is The Hype.
What is going down, everybody? Thank you for joining us on MojoBreak.com's The Hype. We're back for another episode, episode number 40. You can also check us out on iTunes under Mojo Break if you'd rather listen to the podcast version. If you're in the gym, you're doing a long drive, and you want to hear about the hobby. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. We've got, obviously, Ohtani's on fire, so we'll bring him up again. We're going to talk about Diamond Kings, 2018 Bowman prices. We're also going to talk about the NBA playoffs, make our predictions, and talk about investing in NBA rookies now come playoff time. So we're going to talk about that as well. And I'm joined by Dan. What's going on, Dan?
What's going on?
Just opening your monster. Look like you're doing very, very intricately, just getting that thing open.
I was trying not to get any splashback, you know?
Oh, just like bust up on your face there?
Yeah, no, you know how like you open it and it gets a little splashback on your palm?
Ah, okay. So yeah. Maybe you can run a lesson on that. You can do a YouTube how-to.
Yeah, I didn't want to have sticky hands for the next 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Because I can't really get up and just go to the restroom and wash my hands.
Right. Well, we can run a whole sticky hand segment on another show. Might get a little weird, but...
Yeah.
C-Rad, what's going on, dude?
What's up, guys?
It's a little under the weather. Well, he may be doing some sign language to save his voice for the breaks tonight, you know what I'm saying?
Don't worry, man. We all scream into the same microphone, so don't worry. We'll get it again.
Kissing cousins. So I wanted to talk to you guys about our 53 box we've got going down on Friday. Baseball is here, and we've got a nice 53 box for Friday, random team style. You've got Definitive. We're bringing that back. Can't find it anywhere. Topps Dynasty, National Treasures, The Mint, Immaculate Tribute, Diamond Kings, some Bowman Draft from 2015, some 2017 Bowman Chroma. It is going to be a fun break. $299 a spot, but endless amount of entertainment and endless possibilities. Lots of chances of Ohtani, lots of chances of Judge, plus legends like Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle, all that stuff. So join us Friday, and that will fill up fast. We also have a skunk prize for that. So if you do really, really bad and you don't get a lot of hits, we're giving away a tribute box, which is up to like $300 now. So somebody's going to win a tribute box, whoever does bad. So that'll be really, really, really fun. So join us. Spots available for purchase at mojobreak.com. And random teams. So everybody's got a shot at the Angels, Yankees, Cubs, and there's Elite Extra in the break, too, so there's prospects. Every team has possibilities of getting hits. So, but I wanted to dive in. We it seems like we've been talking about this forever, but it is the hot topic. Shohei Ohtani and how it affects the hobby. Darren Revelle has got an article on ESPN, and it's like the second time in about 6 months that the hobby's made it to ESPN. I think the last time was Dak Prescott situation. But this was one of the front page news on ESPN about the $6,700 Heritage red ink auto that sold recently, and how much this stuff has jumped up. And man, the hype train is at an all time high, and I think it'll go higher, which is crazy. And I mean, what are your thoughts, Dan? What do you think about this Ohtani hype?
Who's the New York Gothams?
Don't know.
Did they turn into the Giants or?
Probably Monty Ward, yeah, 1883, a long time ago.
Yeah, it's been a while. I would like to compare it to Aaron Judge last year, but I think we're it's a completely different beast that we're dealing with.
Yeah, we don't have any data to match up with this guy,
and we're talking
from a hobby standpoint.
international is what's, I mean, that is what's really going to
international man of mystery.
Like
Austin Powers.
No, just the international market in general is what is going to truly separate this from anything. Judge and Bellinger last year on fire. I was like, there's no way this can possibly happen again. Otani is going to be ridiculous. Look what just some of the base cards and Diamond Kings are going for. And you're getting like, don't quote me, but I think you're getting like 28 to 30 base cards in a 12 box inner.
Yeah. Which we'll touch on in shortly here.
Okay. But I'm just saying, look at this stuff. It's amazing. It's going to be straight fire. It's going to make our lives a lot harder. I know that. But who knows? Literally, I don't know where the ceiling's at.
I mean, I scheduled my Ohtani tattoo for next week, so I hope he still does good, because, you know, I'm all in on this guy. And, you know, obviously, being in the hobby, our livelihood does depend on guys like this. There's always somebody else, but there's nobody that's been comparable in the history of the hobby. I mean, 2001 was probably the jumping off point for the modern era of collecting, like Bowman and stuff like that. And there hasn't been anybody close. So it's not like we can say that this is going to be like Mike Trout, or this is going to be like Aaron Judge, or this is going to be like, you know, any of these guys, Harper in the past. We don't know how high some of these cards can go for. And we don't know if this guy keeps performing, keeps winning games, keeps hitting home runs. What the ceiling is. It's extremely hard to predict a ceiling for this guy, and it's exciting though. I mean, I am excited. I tweeted out I shared this link on Facebook to my family. They're probably like, whatever, card nerd, who cares? But you know, it's exciting. It's putting our hobby on the map. It's getting more people in. We're treading a fine line of collectability, because if we water it down too much, then there's no collectability. What's the score of the game?
Oh, I'm watching. I'm watching. Gigante is
It's over already. It's 2-0.
What do you mean?
We lost. 3-0.
Clutch 22 is up right now. 2-1.
So, but I don't know, man. It's crazy. Now, my question is, and I know it's an international market, but if you look at the poster childs of baseball from a hobby's perspective, Chris Bryant, Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, they all are kind of similar in a way, and I don't want to bring race into it, but I guess I'm alluding to that.
Ken Griffey Jr.
I'm alluding to that. Well, no, yeah, but he didn't have autos. I'm talking about the Bowman.
But he drove 89 Upper Deck, and probably, at least in my lifetime, the most iconic baseball card ever, 89 Upper Deck, Ken Griffey Jr. rookie.
Right.
So.
No, but he can talk. He's personable. So my question is, my roundabout question on this whole thing is, are American collectors only going to ride the hype train and not look at him long term because they can't really relate to him?
You can't compare him to anything.
You can compare him to Ichiro, right?
No, but was Ichiro pitching?
No.
Did Ichiro ever win two games?
He did pitch a couple times, but not a starter.
I mean, right now, I know it's a small sample size, but do you look as Ohtani as more of a hitter or a pitcher? I mean, I know it's small sample size, but he's 2-0. I think his ERA is somewhere in like high twos, maybe early, like low threes.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 3 home runs. I think he's hitting over 300. What more of a threat do you see him as, a hitter or? And plus, I don't think he's going to get more than 350 at bats.
Right. I don't know yet. It's too early to call. I guess you could say if he's going to be an everyday rotation, he's going to come up every 5 days, then I guess he's more of a pitcher.
Is he more valuable?
He's not going
to
hit.
Is he more valuable as a pitcher to the Angels winning games? Is he more valuable as a pitcher or a hitter?
That's hard to say. You know, I mean, he's not going to get as many at bats as Trout is. So I guess he's going to be more valuable as a pitcher. He's going to come out there and win games. Is he also more valuable? What would this situation be if he was on a National League team and he could bat during those games he pitches? Did he not want to do that? So that must have been a situation where he only wanted to maybe focus on one thing at a time. I don't know. So you would think if you're that great at hitting and you're known, you know, Japanese Babe Ruth, you'd want to be on a team that you could, you know, National League team where you could bat every game. So I don't know. So,
But you lose that DH.
Right. You lose the well,
cuz it looks like
you can't play him.
So, yeah, he would have to play a position.
Right.
If he was going to play every day.
True.
Where it looks like what the Angels are doing right now is that he is a DH on days he doesn't pitch. Days he pitches, I don't think he's a DH. Yep. They have somebody else in there. And then the following day after he pitches, they've been taking him out of the lineup.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we'll be interesting to see when we hit an interleague game and he does both, where he could be the first pitcher to, you know, strike out 12 and hit two home runs or something like that in a game. I think Bumgarner's hit two home runs in a game before, but do something crazy, like maybe hit the cycle and strike out 12. This guy's probably the only person that has the possibility of doing that.
If he hits 300, he hits 20 homers and wins 18 games. Should win MVP.
Yeah.
I absolutely the most valuable player to his team.
Well, you know what will be the true mark for him will be wins above replacement, because he's going to be able to win games pitching, but he's not going to be in the lineup every day. So you can't judge RBIs, home runs. They won't matter for him. So wins above replacement will be a really good way to kind of judge how kind of a good season he's having.
If this works out, is this going to be the new trend in baseball?
Tied game.
Who went yard? Is that
Posey?
Is it Posey?
We were a little bit behind Dane. I just turned around and watched it.
So if this
not that we're watching it anyway, trying to do a show.
So if this is this the new trend? If this is the recipe for team success by having a player not only pitch but also hit, is that what we're looking for in the future to build a team? Is every team going to be looking for a guy who can do both, who's a dual threat?
Well, it's possible. We've got two guys coming up that have done that, and we'll see if they translate. But you have McKay and you have Hunter Green that are both supposedly possible two-way players.
But it's crazy. Like,
are they going to be forced to do this because of this
guy? That's been going on for a long time. There's a lot of high school players who are the best hitters on their team and the best pitchers on their team, and they get drafted. Now, when they go to when they go into a major league farm system, they've always made them decide, are you going to be, a pitcher or are you going to be a hitter?
You're right. Yeah, because they usually can specialize and focus on one. It's hard to
focus
on two.
Is this a short-term trend? Is this like, what was that offense in football where everybody was the Wildcat? Is this like the Wildcat offense that we're looking at? Is this going to be?
Or is it like the three-point explosion in basketball, which is kind of the standard now, right?
I don't know.
It'll be hard to see. It's exciting, though. It's another storyline for baseball. It's great for baseball in an age where kids are not watching baseball as much as they're watching basketball and football. Like we grew up watching baseball. Baseball's a little bit slower of a game for this generation of kids. So, but something like this, you know, hey, this guy's good. So we'll see. Diamond Kings came out today, and Ohtani's all up in it. We pulled one really nice hit. You can see it on the right side. It was the one we pulled, the number to 10. We pulled it this morning. So he's in there. Diamond Kings is Diamond Kings, and they've got a few different designs. My gripe was what Dan mentioned, was the fact that in one 12-box case, inner case, not even a master, there was 29 different Ohtani cards that came out of it. Not talking about the auto. Count the auto, that'd be 30. 29 different cards. Now, out of the gate, they're selling for, people are getting like $10 a base card or $50 an SP and stuff like that. So, but I the only thing that disappoints me is the fact that how readily available his base cards in this early for an early release. We don't want to approach the watering down of the hobby. And the reason he has so many base cards, we wanted to compare it to somebody else, but he has a pitcher, a hitter, and then he's in every single insert subset. He's in every SP subset, and there's a lot of SPs in Donruss or in Diamond Kings. Unfortunately, Panini hasn't figured out how to do short prints like Topps does. There's really not a whole lot of value in their SPs, and the way they come out are a little funky. They're not really announced. Nobody knows. I mean, Donruss has a million SPs, and no one cares. But in my opinion, there's a lot of Ohtani base, and I think they could have kind of, you know, mellowed it out a little bit. Let it leave a little bit more for all the other releases that are going to come out.
And how are these going to stand up? We got to remember that the Donruss stuff and all the Panini stuff is going to be non-licensed. There's going to be a lot of Topps releases this year. Ohtani's going to be in everything.
Yeah.
So in 6 to 8 months, where are these going to stand? You got to figure that if there's a lot of them, supply and demand, they're going to be about 50 cents to a buck a piece, right?
Right.
So I wouldn't say go out and start buying a bunch of Ohtani base cards in Donruss for $10 a pop.
Yeah.
Try to refrain from doing that at this
point. Right now would be the bad time to invest in something like that.
Yeah.
And you can see here on the screen, if you're listening to on the podcast, a recent First Off the Line. If you're not familiar with First Off the Line, they have the number to 20 autographs per box. Somebody did a one-day auction and sold the number to 20 Ohtani for $1,000.
You think that was paid?
No.
No, I don't think so either.
No. But who knows? I mean, the price, that's not a surprising price compared to everything else. I mean, you see this Heritage card.
We had a discussion about this a couple weeks ago. I was saying
6,100 on a Heritage auto. I mean, that sets the standard. That's the high right now.
When I was talking, man, I should have bought that card for $3,000. 3 weeks ago, anybody could have bought it. It was like 2,400, $3,000. And one didn't even sell. Remember, the guy listed it. It went at auction. It was doom and gloom on Ohtani. Wasn't sure if he's going to even make the team at a spring training.
But you know what? You can say that.
Of course I can. Yeah.
You can say that. But at 3,000, you would have asked 100 collectors if you would have bought an Ohtani red at 3,000, and 99 would have said hell no. Because you have so much room to go down. The guy breaks his arm. It's now a $50 to $100 card.
Doubled the money.
I know, your money. I get that, but $3,000, that's a hard thing to make an investment on, you know, just in one pop.
But people are willing to spend whatever, $7,000 on a Topps Now card that's a 101.
Yeah, well, yeah, but that's a 101. There's nothing else to compare it to.
Except for the next Topps Now card that comes out in like 3 days.
Yeah, I get that, but they sold through that. We got one coming. We're probably gonna double our money right now if we wanted to. So,
but I'm just saying, like, if you're willing to spend $7,000 on a Topps Now card, why wouldn't you buy something that's considered a staple in the releases every year?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
The real red ink auto is a desirable collectible card.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, interesting to see. I mean, you can see some of the other auctions for Ohtani on eBay. Just search completed listings, and it's hot. It's doubled. I mean, you could have turned your investment around real quick, but you know, it's kind of a perfect scenario, except for maybe him getting a perfect game, which may have bumped that up to 7,000 on the Heritage.
Oh, more than that.
you think 10,000,
dude? If he would have thrown a perfect game against the Conrad's great Oakland Athletics, $10,000, $12,000, $15,000. Dude, we're talking perfect game. Imagine what that would have done. That would have been, we would have been talking about Ohtani. Well, we're going to talk about him every single week for the next year. We will talk about Ohtani. I can guarantee you that.
Well, you know, that's what ESPN is going to talk about. I mean, you don't have a whole lot of topics in the hobby. And if anybody has a topic to talk about, please submit it, because we do this every week. So it is kind of rolling with the hot topics. And right now there's no better time to talk about Ohtani. It's like the Beanie Baby craze. People going crazy right now. And there's going to be so much influx of new customers coming into this hobby, which could be either good or bad. I don't know.
I'm waiting for an Ohtani Beanie Baby.
Yeah, there it is. She's got it right
there. No, I'm serious. That thing would be hot.
It would be. I mean, we got another. I mean, after 2017, who would have imagined that the 2017 Aaron Judge hype, that there could be something else in 2018 that would be even crazier? I mean, we all had Ohtani. We all heard about him. We all knew he was coming out. But no one thought that this was what was going to happen, to have a player that can do two-way, you know, can pitch and hit and do well. Now, it's obviously, like you like to say, small sample size. It's a very small sample size, and we've got to give it some long-term. But I think for now, for at least the next month, his value is protected.
Well, that's a stone cold lock.
Stone cold lock.
Stone cold.
Yep, and I make great predictions, so I'm usually right most of the time. I was gonna play my Wentz prediction. Oh, and you actually were just saying, "Oh, you're crazy. Dak's gonna have a better season."
I don't sound like that.
You're absolutely crazy.
Sound like I'm 95 years old, man. I don't sound like that at all.
Well, if I did my same voice on your voice, it would be weird. So I have to change my voice a little bit.
I don't know why you would. I don't get it.
Yeah, you're calling Dak. Wentz's gonna have. Dak's crazy.
Why do I sound like Bruce Bochy?
That's your voice, dude.
Actually, hey, C-Rad, did you watch the Andre the Giant documentary?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, my God. It's so good.
I got to see it.
So good.
It just came out yesterday, right?
Came out yesterday, yeah. Amazing. Amazing. One of the best documentaries I've seen. Highly recommend it.
I'm going to have to go home and watch it.
HBO, yeah.
I'm going to watch it for sure.
Sick.
So, I mean, so what are the downsides? I wanted to talk about the upsides and downsides before we move into some 2018 Bowman talk. So think about that. Think about 2018 Bowman and Ohtani in there before we move on. But what are the negative effects on the hobby? My first, obviously, overproduction. Are we going to reach overproduction this year?
Yes.
Greed is obviously a negative
thing.
Yes,
yes.
And noob collectors.
Uncertainty, not really understanding the nature of the hobby. So I guess, I mean, we need new collectors to come in.
Yes.
Yeah.
But a lot of people who are going to come into this hobby are just going to come solely on the hype, and they're going to, I've seen it with, and I think we've both seen it to the extent multiple different years in different sports. I remember in 2011 with Cam Newton, we had a lot of people who would come in and all they wanted was Cam Newton. The right. world revolved around Cam Newton. That's all they wanted to collect. Didn't care about anything else, and it was solely based on value and resell. We're going to see a lot of that. And it's...
Well,
it doesn't really... It doesn't lend well for true collectors who actually enjoy the hobby and want to get an Ohtani rookie auto to maybe hold on to it and enjoy collecting something.
Right. Well, and it's hearsay because this hobby is such a niche. If you guys, you guys that are listening, sometimes you don't even realize how small this niche is. It's very, very small. That's why they can't afford to advertise on ESPN. That's why they can't afford to advertise at stadiums. Sometimes Topps does. It's a very, very, very small niche. And, you know, when a guy pulls an Ohtani card and sells it for $6,100 and he brags to his buddies that, hey, I bought a $118 box and I hit the $6,100 Ohtani, the buddy's like, I want to do that. I want to make this money. That's awesome. Gets invested in it and realizes that he lost a bunch of money because he didn't get lucky.
And that's
the problem is I think some people think that they can kind of get rich quick. If you're trying to get rich in this hobby, not going
to
happen.
You need to be able to collect within your means.
Yes.
100%. Like, you need to be able to buy a box or get into a break and know that the chances of you turning a profit on it are unlikely for the most part. I mean, yeah, you may get some value back, but you need to have the mentality going into it that this is not going to be necessarily a way to make money. This is not going to be able to be a second job or anything like that. You have to have some type of love for collecting.
Yep.
You need to enjoy it. Don't make it all about money.
Yep. Yeah, and we hear these stories of guys. We actually just had a recent an email of a person that got into too far into debt, and thanked us and said that it basically is done. It's a hobby. If it comes down to paying your rent or feeding your kids or this hobby, you got to pay your rent and feed your kids first. And then whatever you have left over is your fun money. It's kind of like your bar money or your movie money. That's the way it should be. I mean, you can make smart investments, and minimize the amount of money that you lose in this hobby. But at the same time, it's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to you're supposed to collect and have fun. And like I said, stuff like this that happens with Ohtani, it's great because people start collecting and we gain good new collectors. We do. But we also gain the people that don't understand and think they can make money. And they don't understand how like either box breaks work, or they don't understand, why do they get these cards, or these cards aren't worth anything, or they're 80s cards. Why do they have all these Jose Canseco's that aren't worth anything? So you get a lot of newbies in, and like I said, a lot of them do. Some of them do turn out to be great collectors, great friends, that actually, add some positive to the hobby. But there's a lot of people that just don't understand, and that's kind of the thing that happens.
It could be an emotional roller coaster for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're in it for the resale value and that's it solely, it's going to be a roller coaster.
Absolutely.
I have a question. We talk about all the time last year how people were trying to get into the you know, try to open up a new, get their license distributor with distributors to get some 2017 products because Judge and Bellinger were so hot.
Uh-huh.
Are we going to see something even crazier this year? Well, the thing about the guys last year, right, we talk about it all the time, is that now they can probably start getting some product because they were probably buying stuff that they last year.
Yeah, that's a great point that you brought up because I've actually just talked to a couple distributors, and for the most part, anybody that's starting new, they're all turning them down. Like, I've even heard a smaller one in California here not taking new customers because they don't have the inventory to give them. So they're getting a certain amount of allocation. They don't want somebody just always pissed off at them because they're never getting anything good because they're only getting a small piece of the pie. So it's very challenging. A lot of distributors even told people last year to order, you know, whatever they can, and they'll try to help them in 2018. And now 2018 just picked up right where 2017 left off, and they're not giving those guys anything.
Yeah, if you want to start in this industry, you should start on a down year. Yep. I know that doesn't sound great, and you're not going to be able to, like, you know, buy cases for, you know, $1,200 and be able to flip them for $2,400. We've been doing this a long time. I lost count of how many products have come out that we have lost money on.
Mm-hmm.
We've lost money up more on products that have come out than we've actually made money on.
Yep.
I mean, I would say. I mean, we tend to do a little bit better than break even most of the time. We make a little bit of a profit, but there are a lot of products that come out every year that we just lose hundreds of dollars on.
Yeah, and the people that come in are not getting any Bowman. They're not getting any National Treasure Basket.
So, I mean,
they got to pay their dues.
The one thing I can say is that you should, if you're going to start, you start in a down year where you can actually get product, build your allocation that way, and then or start off on a sport that you know is down. I don't know how next year's basketball rookie class is going, but it's definitely not going to be like this year's rookie class.
Right.
So, you know, start buying basketball products and hope that maybe the following year is going to be a big year, and then you can start getting some allocation that way. So,
I don't know, man. I heard this international kid is pretty damn good.
I don't know, man. I'm just talking. I don't know.
I know what you mean. We're waiting for an Anthony Bennett year, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Hey, Anthony Bennett year, that was
Giannis, but
that was Giannis
at the time.
2 years later.
And we didn't have as many breakers at that time either, I don't think. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, breakers come and go. We probably can count 100 breakers that have come and gone in the whole time we've been doing this since 2010. But, you know, yeah, it's very difficult if you start out. You're going to either have to pay secondary market or you're going to have to schlub it up on all the lower-end releases to try to get what you want. Diamond Kings came out today. Speaking of Ohtani, he's in there. We've got two randoms today. The PYT for today is already sold out pretty much. There might be a few teams left. But we have two randoms today with, I think one had 7 spots left and the other one's at the end of the night. So those are going to guarantee to fill. And for $33, you got a chance at getting one of those Ohtani autos. So we pulled one in the first case already. So pretty exciting. So, and there's also obviously Mickey Mantle stuff's in there. They've got Austin Hayes, a lot of the other big rookies, Miguel Andujar, lots of bets and Chase and stuff. So it's a good little low-end product with some punch. So definitely check it out, mojobreak.com. And I wanted to get into 2018 Bowman. I did a little digging. So this is absolutely mind-blowing. So Bowman,
is that for a case?
2018 Bowman Jumbo is at $350 a box. You get 3 autos, and yes, it's going to be Ohtani's first Bowman, and that is the sole probably reason that that's up to $350. But what I did was I went in the Internet Wayback Machine, and I wanted to compare it to other releases around the same time, the other years of Bowman, right? So, you know, if you can go to the next slide here. So this was in early April, so 2016 on a presale was at $118. So you can do the math there. That's a almost $250 difference. This was actually a month after the release last year because I couldn't go back to April in 2017 for some reason, and the Wayback Machine didn't let me go. But $225 a month after it was released. And then in 2017 had Judge. So 2017 had Judge. What was the last one I had? Was it 2016? 2016. That had Bregman. That had Moncada's first. There was a lot of guys in that set, so, and that's what you could have got it at, $118.
I want to go back and buy it at $118.
Seriously. Well, now it's way high, but I'm just saying, that was the pre-sale. So I'm trying to compare this to all the other years, and it's crazy. And at 2015, I only could find Hobby, but 64 compared to Hobby this year, 169.
170 for a hobby box?
For one auto and a lot of base cards. So just put that in perspective on what this hype has done. Now, is that blowout card setting the market? Maybe a little bit. But $350, that means this, let's predict Ohtani's Bowman prices at that price. They're going to risk $350 on ripping a box. His base autos need to be like $1,500.
But you know what? They wouldn't be pricing it there. They wouldn't be pricing it that price if people were not buying it at a lower price. I mean, the more they sell at a lower price, the they're going to raise the price on it. So they feel that $170 is where it's at right now. I mean, that is insane. Insane.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. And you're right. People are probably paying it, and they've progressively gone up. They came out of the gate pretty high. I believe it was like $250 out of the gate. So they've slowly raised it that $100 to get it to where it is now. But would any of you guys in the chat buy a jump? And let's be real. And I know we kind of just trashed the price. But would you buy a box at $350 for the chance at a Ohtani auto?
Would you buy a box for $300?
Right. I'm sorry. My throat there.
$300, not $350. $300. You get a little discount.
Right.
Would you pay $300 for a jumbo box?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't think I would. I think that's too risky. I mean, it depends on how much Ohtani. Now, are they going to short print Ohtani? Is he going to be hard to hit? Because if you look over the years, Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Well, you're looking. I mean, you also have Hunter Green, so you're going to have Hunter Green's first auto. I mean, you have some good stuff. It's not just going to be Ohtani that's going to drive the product. Now. Is he going to have base cards?
That's probably not.
Okay. Well, so it's going to be like, 2009 Bowman?
Well, no, usually.
The Trout year, Bowman draft?
Usually when a guy's got a rookie auto and he doesn't have a prospect, because they're going to consider the Ohtani a rookie auto, he doesn't have rookie cards until Bowman Chrome, usually. So they try to spread out the value. So I don't know if this year is going to be different, if they're going to feel the crunch because Ohtani's so hot and they may put some base cards in there. Once the checklist comes out, we'll have to see it. Obviously, he'll probably have some inserts and stuff, but I don't know if he'll have a true Chrome rookie card in here. He'll have a rookie card auto, of course, and that's what everybody wants. But, yeah, so.
Mostly everybody has said no.
Everybody says no, and we kind of like led you guys into saying no. It was kind of like, oh, this is really high.
I should have disagreed and went like, man,
it's a good deal.
Absolutely, I'd pay $400.
I'd pay $1,000 for it.
No, I don't know. I mean, but what is an Ohtani base auto going to sell for?
Yeah, that's another good question. What do you guys think an Ohtani base auto will go for? And let's just for shits and giggles here.
Ooh,
what will the Ohtani Super Fractor Auto go for?
Stupid.
Will we push over 100K on that?
Break eBay. eBay will be broken.
And how many times will it be rerun because somebody's not going to pay an obscene amount of money like that? But, yeah, and it may go up. You're right. You buy it and it may go up. If this guy's still lighting it up, I mean, this is the Bowman. If you're new to the hobby, the Bowman auto will be his best one, bar none. It'll be the one that has the most value over time. There won't be anything that'll match the value of the Ohtani auto that comes out of Bowman.
We should
buy it. And we all know that, and that's why this stuff's way high.
We should buy the Super Fractor of Ohtani when it's hit and put it in a buyback product.
Earlier this year, you said 800. I was actually trying to remember that. Buy the Super Fractor Ohtani?
Yeah, put it in a buyback.
And then we'll make 200 cases with only one card in every case?
No,
with only one card?
Well, no, it'll just be everything. Most cases will just be base cards.
At that price, we may have to just sign our own autos for everybody. And then everything else will be, you know, there'd be one case that has it. And then we'll do the Super Break approach. We'll make sure it's in the last case, you know, saying. So we got to sell the rest of our stuff out first before it gets hit. But 2K Gem Mint Easy. I could probably, I don't disagree. 9.5, 2K.
God, I want to say, now I want to say about $1,500 for a base auto, not numbered.
But 9.5?
Raw
50. Raw. So 2,000's not out of the realm if it's a 9.5. How many people are going to be sending overnight, one day, freaking Ohtanis to Beckett? Beckett's loving
this. How many
this.
People are just going to fly out to Dallas, Texas and just go straight to Beckett and be like, I need you to grade this now.
All right. Well, we've got some NBA playoff talk that I wanted to move on into since we're about 12 minutes before we start Diamond Kings number 2. But NBA playoffs, I think we got about one more game for every team. And most of the seeds are kind of determined. I think we've got some lower seeds that could kind of flip-flop. And I think the Nuggets have an outside shot of trying to take over one of the spots. I wanted to start with C-Rad. NBA Finals, which two teams are in and which team wins? And try to take the home route as much as possible, which is going to be hard for me, too.
I'm going to say Portland Trail Blazers.
What?
I'm just kidding.
Dude, how much NyQuil did you take last night?
It's going to be Dubs and it's going to be Dubs and the Cavaliers, dude.
Oh, wow. That was really reaching there.
Jeez.
That was a hard one. All right, Dan, go ahead. I think I told you mine, so don't rain on my thunder.
All right. I'm sticking with what I've been saying all year, and I really hope this team's going to make the playoffs. I think they still are because I'm going to sound as dumb as Doug did when he talked about Zay Jones.
All the East teams are already locked in.
I don't see him up there.
Are you going to throw a Hail Mary here?
All right. Western Conference, we're going Warriors.
Yeah.
Eastern Conference, sticking with my Wizards.
They're the eighth seed, so they're going to.
Yeah.
But you like the Raptors, too, so how are they going to beat the Raptors?
No, I am saying I never said the Raptors.
I said Raptors.
I said Wizards. I'm going Wizards.
All right, you guys in the chat, what do you guys think?
I said Raptors from the beginning.
All right, well, my pick is going to be obviously the Warriors. I mean, the Rockets may give them a good seven-game series. It's going to be close. I think the Warriors are doing smoke and mirrors right now. I know they just lost by 40 to Donovan Mitchell, but I think Steve Kerr is doing a little Popovich and Phil Jackson kind of right before the playoffs. So I think the Warriors are there. My pick for the East is going to be interesting. I think it's going to go down to the Eastern Conference Finals, and it's going to be the Sixers and the Cavaliers. And it's going to go to Game 7, and Ben Simmons will prevail and beat LeBron, and it's going to be passing the torch to Ben Simmons. The East, the new power team is going to be the Sixers, and he may actually go join the Sixers afterwards, so you'll have LeBron and Ben Simmons next year. But anyways, they're going to play the Warriors, and the Warriors are going to sweep them. It's going to be four games because Ben Simmons is going to have to take his lumps before he becomes a champion. So, but they're going to surprise everybody. They're going to play out of their minds, and they're going to go to the Eastern Conference. It's going to be Warriors and Sixers. That's my pick. So, and Ben Simmons' stuff will continue to go up higher and higher and higher. So we've got 76ers Rockets. Maybe if you called them the Bullets, they'd make
maybe.
It. Maybe. And you brought back C-Web.
Gonna be surprised.
What about Agent Zero?
Gonna be surprised.
A little Gilbert Arenas.
Gonna be surprised. We're gonna be sitting here in a couple of weeks. I'm gonna be like with my John Wall Wizards jersey on.
I can see the Sixers making the Eastern Conference Finals, but they're either gonna play Raptors or Cavaliers, right? So. Those three teams can go either way.
And I'm starting to kind of come over on your Raptors side of things. I mean, I think with the way those guys have been playing, I know it's going to sound very corny. They're playing like a team. They've got good cohesion. They got a good bench. They've got Valachunas is playing well. I mean, they've got a lot of good pieces there.
This is actually their best year to make it to the finals.
I think so.
The Cavaliers have shown their weakness in the East. You still got LeBron James, but everybody else in that squad is whack. And then everybody else in the East having trouble beating them. So Raptors they're fully healthy right now. They're playing great team basketball, like you said. So it's their best chance to make it to the finals this year.
And just imagine if you live in Canada or around the Toronto area, you should probably try to hang out wherever Drake is, because if he's going to give away $1 million for a video, if his team goes to the finals, he's probably going to give out like $10 million. So you probably want to be around there. He'll film it and get his, you know, his Instagram on and everything like that. So, but I wanted to talk about NBA investing. With the playoffs coming in, and we already did our predictions, but with the playoffs coming, I wanted to talk about some key rookies that are, you know, could make or break during the playoffs. It could go up. So I highlighted the main ones, and I wanted to talk about investing in their silvers. So I'm starting here with Jason Tatum being on the Celtics. The Celtics is gonna they're the first round. I know they don't have Kyrie. Kyrie's out, but they're gonna play the Heat. I think they can take care of the Heat. So I think you'll get a little bit of a bump on the silver, which I actually bought one at that price today, actually at $229. But I think that
you overpaid.
I think that Tatum
$7.
I think Tatum will have a couple big games, and I think you could see that rise to $350, $400. So I Tatum, in my opinion, a good investment. Short term. Well, maybe long term too.
Gonna,
but
I was
going to
say long term.
Long term too. But I think you could make a quick investment and flip on a good game. I think so. I think I'm gonna hold on to it myself.
How about a good series? I don't know about a good game. Like that's a tough flip because by the time he has a good game, you put it up. He may have a bad game the next game, and it goes down, and that's when it ends. I think it needs to be a flip per series.
I'll tell you what, they're playing the Heat. That's gonna be a tough series for them.
Yeah, the Heat are good. The Heat are good. Hassan Whiteside's killing it. You know, you got some guys playing good games over there.
Goran Dragic. Who else they got?
They got Bam. Bam Adebayo, which I actually should have looked at his prices. Bam Adebayo might be cheap enough to invest in, too, just as a small investment as well. Bam. So, yeah, I think Tatum's a good investment. I wanted to – now, Donovan Mitchell, they could go far. I mean, they've been playing real good basketball. He's a little higher on his silvers, though. I believe he's closer to 300. So, still not a bad investment. I think Tatum has a little bit more room to excel. I don't think that – Mitchell wins Rookie of the Year. I think it's a lock for Ben Simmons now. I think there was a little bit of talk, but I think the way that the Sixers have won 14 in a row now or whatever it is, I think Simmons is a lock. But I think the Jazz are going to be playing the – as of right now, things could change a little bit. They're playing the Spurs.
Third seed, right?
Yeah.
I got to say, great turnaround for that Utah Jazz franchise because once Gordon Hayward left, everybody was like, oh, this team's going to be whack.
Right. Right. Yeah, Donovan Mitchell's been playing really well. He's more of a scorer. He doesn't really pass a lot.
Think,
but
you think the Jazz beat the Spurs in the playoffs?
Spurs are getting old, man.
It doesn't
who knows
matter.
About is Kawhi never, is Kawhi out or is he?
I think,
is he
I think he's out. But you never go against a Popovich team in the playoffs. Are you crazy? Especially against a young team like the Jazz. Dude, I'll bet you. I'll bet you the Spurs beat the Jazz.
I'll take that bet.
I'll bet you $100.
Okay. Done.
We
done
just
deal.
Did that. $100 right
100
there.
$100. You can just write the check out now.
Spurs!
And then I highlighted Simmons, obviously, which could probably potentially double, but his prices are pretty high already, so it's a kind of a big investment. If you look at his silvers, they're hovering around $1,100.
That's gold right there.
$1,200. But that also gives you an idea of could the Mitchells and Tatums go up to that? I don't think they'll go up to that right now or this year. But you could see potentially what a superstar will do.
Long-term Tatum for sure, dude.
Yep.
I think we talked about the print run roughly of the silvers this year. I think we're like in the 15 to 2000 range, I think, of base silvers. If you had to put a number on it, wouldn't you say somewhere in the 1500 to 2000 per player?
I would think so, but it's hard to say with all the retail
that's what I'm saying. 1500 to 2000 per player is a crap ton.
Did they make more compared to just the last year?
They absolutely made more. And the reason, actually Dan and I would know this is because they, you know, the head Panini guy was telling us how they made way less products last year because they couldn't get Ben Simmons autographs. So that accounts for a huge amount of in the production run, right? If they can't produce these Simmons autographs and they don't have nothing to replace it with.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's true. I mean, it just, you see, compared to Giannis and Kyrie, more people are grading these silvers now. So there's definitely going to be more in the market. So you'll have a lot more competition than you would with a Kyrie or a Giannis. Or you know, and then Simmons didn't have autos, so that's why his stuff's a little bit higher. But, you know, I think that NBA, like any other sport, does depend on the moment. These guys have big moments. These guys' cards are going to go up. So, and international market is always on basketball. So, I also wanted to point out, and Bam Adebayo's PSA 10 is going for 45, so that might not be a bad investment. Simmons Mosaic, though, at $100, I think is a good investment. 9.5 on a Mosaic. You can get a raw one for like 40, and they grade pretty well. So if you don't want to shell out the $1,200 to get the silver, you could get the Mosaic base for $100. And, you know, if they go to the finals, do you see that silver prism going to like $3,000?
Yeah, easy.
Yeah? Okay. Mm-hmm. So this could potentially go to $300. You could double your money easy. So... Jordan Bell, I had highlighted too.
That's Rookie of the Year right there. I don't know why people.
Well, what I think with Jordan Bell is the Warriors are interesting because Kerr will play the matchup, and that's why Iguodala won MVP 1 year of the finals. So, I mean, depending on who they play, Jordan Bell could get more playing time, which means that he could win series. He could get, you know, series MVPs and things like that. And his stuff's at $60 for a 9.5 10 silver.
Yeah.
No? No. You don't see it in him?
No, he's a big guy.
No, he's not. He's not that big.
He doesn't shoot threes. He's Jordan Bell is not going to put up 30 points in a playoff game.
Could have 11 blocks and like
it doesn't
crazy
it doesn't dunk. Matter. It's based value is based on points scored. And you need to be able to shoot three-pointers to be able to add value to your cards.
But he's 6'9".
He's rookie of the year in my heart.
But he's a big guy.
That's what's LeBron's height.
But he plays like a big guy. See, Kevin Durant like shoots. He could shoot threes, he can do everything. Jordan Bell, have you ever seen Jordan Bell like play the point? Karen dribbling ball up.
He's a young guy.
Facilitating.
He's a young guy.
He's a throw me the ball, I'm going to alley-oop it. I got one move.
I'm not saying long-term. I'm saying he wins an MVP in a series. Double or triple.
An MVP in a series? Are
yes.
you kidding me?
He plays for the right team.
Everybody
People
on
play
that
for
team,
Warriors you, cards.
So Clay wouldn't win, and Draymond wouldn't win, and Durant wouldn't win, and Curry wouldn't win, and Iguodala wouldn't win. That's like saying Patrick McCaw will win.
Well, Iguodala won. He's like the fifth best guy on the team when he won.
Iguodala,
he's a sixth man.
Hey, dude, give me a break. Jordan Bell is going to win a – plus, they don't give, like, series MVPs for every series. It's only, like, the conference finals.
Right. The finals. The conference finals and the NBA finals. But look at the other teams.
There's no way.
The Warriors are a favorite. Who's a rookie on the Rockets? Zuqui? He's not going to play.
1 in 1,000 Jordan Bell wins any kind of postseason award.
Yeah, it's 1 in 1,000, but it's a low investment. It's a low risk.
What? $60?
It's a low risk.
So that, turn that $60 and turn it into
and
20
if
bucks.
You go to, and that's a 9.5. You could buy Raws at 15 or 20 bucks. I'm just saying.
He's a big guy. He's a big guy.
He's a rookie that's going to a team that's a favorite to win the finals. There's no other rookie out there that's on a team that's a favorite.
I think you have a – you need
that
to go –
that plays enough.
You need to go with a guy. If you want upside and value, you need to go with a guy who shoots the ball, not an inside presence.
But he could still score 30, 40 points a game.
He is 40 points a game? I don't even think he scored 40 points all year.
But he has the look. Look at his face. It says, I sell cards. It's Jordan Bell. I have predictions that have worked out for me, okay?
You know, I will say,
I didn't pick Dak over Wentz, all right?
Dude, I will say to your Bell, point, we didn't necessarily meet him, but when we saw him at the rookie photo shoot, we could tell he was gonna fit right in with the Warriors group because of how personable he was. Yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying he's not.
He got the face, according to Doug.
No,
he got the face.
He is a. He's a good player. He's a good basketball player. Fits on that team. Good piece.
I mean, look at 40 that. Look at that hairline, dude. Look at that little
40
cut.
Points in any game. He will not have 40 points.
He's the most chiseled guy on the Warriors.
Dude. I will actually bet you this as well. He will not have 40 points. Combine
in
the
playoffs.
whole playoffs.
That's probably true.
How much are we betting there?
That's a hard bet. That means he would have to score 10 points a series, bro.
Well, let's what is he averaging this year? Jordan Bell's stat line. Let's see.
Remember, these role player rookies get less time as the playoffs.
He's averaging 4 points a game.
Yeah.
So if he plays 20 games in the playoffs, he's going to get 80 points. You lose.
20. How many games?
20. They usually play, what, about 16, 17 games?
Yeah. So I don't
know.
I don't know if he's going to play 20.
I'm just saying it's a low risk. Then don't buy. I'll be the only one buying them then. I'll buy all the shit. And
Buy all of it with your 40 points a game.
I buy this guy just because he's a Warrior.
Yeah. And he's on the right team. He ain't on a – what Wizards rookie is going to sell? Nothing. They got nobody.
I don't care. They actually have – I don't think they have a rookie.
You have to look at big market teams when it comes to collecting basketball cards.
Now the Warriors are a big market team.
They've always has been. They have been for the last 5 or 6 years.
They always have been, yeah.
You see that red cape behind him, dude? He's wearing see Superman, the new one.
He could have a triple-double in the first round and fetch 2K easy. You're not talking about Jordan Bell.
No
right?
way. No, we got to be talking about Ben Simmons.
Yeah, you're talking about Ben Simmons. Sean Taylor, yeah, I don't know if that auction got paid, but when I saw it last, the Sean Taylor cut auto from Flawless was like at 12 grand. It was insane. It was ridiculous. I mean, he's a beast and obviously died way too soon, but crazy. But we've got Diamond Kings coming up next, guys. So we're going to stop the show and get ready for Diamond Kings, which is coming up. There's a few teams left for Diamond Kings. So definitely jump in on that. We also have Diamond Kings randoms today. We're talking about basketball. We've got Optic today, PYT. There's some good teams left for Optic. So you can get in on that. You can get the. I think the Lakers might still be available. So check them out. And we also have Flawless Football, National Treasures. We have our very own Rare Numbers. So check out mojobreak.com for our group breaks and our box breaks. And if you are watching on YouTube, we also upload to iTunes. So check out the podcast on iTunes under Mojo Break. So that is it for the show, guys. We'll be live here shortly. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be live breaking some Diamond Kings. So stay tuned.
And that's it. Thanks for watching this episode. Visit mojobreak.com for more info and your break spot. And we will see you next time.